The opening ceremonies for the Olympics are always a spectacle, and next week we're supposed to see a performance by the famous Shaolin Kung Fu monks. Now, if you thought Shaolin was invented by Bruce Lee, let's be clear. Shaolin is the name of a real Buddhist temple, and it is the Mecca, so to speak, of Kung Fu. It's in the mountains, about a day's drive south of Beijing. Jocelyn Ford took a road trip down to the temple to discover how an ancient and revered tradition survives in this modern era. Sort of.
I'm headed off to Shaolin Temple, the most famous Kung Fu temple in all of China. I have an invitation from a monk. He trained there for nearly 40 years. He's still a monk, but he keeps an apartment in the city an hour away.
So I think this is the intersection we're supposed to meet him at. He said go to some ticket-selling place.
My monk likes to be called Shifu. That's Chinese for master. I'll leave it at that. He told me some pretty sensitive stuff and doesn't want to be named. I first met Shifu 5 years ago when I snuck into Shaolin Temple for an early morning temple service. Nowadays, you can't sneak into the temple at 5 in the morning. The site is a big moneymaker, so after the box office closes, it's sealed off to tourists. I'd heard Shaolin monks are having a problem protecting themselves from modern-day foes like copycats who steal their name. Google Shaolin. There are 740,000 Shaolin Kung Fu schools around the world. Hardly any have permission to use the name. There was even a Shaolin ham company, though the monks aren't supposed to eat meat. I wanted to find out what raging capitalism in China is doing to the ancient and revered martial arts and their practitioners. That's why I was heading back to Shaolin Temple with Shifu. When I arrive at his place, it's evening.
Electricity is out. I think there's stairs here.
The electricity is out. There's a little drinking party going on in the dark. Shifu is offering two visiting monks shots of baijiu, a transparent liquor, 120 proof. It burns like rubbing alcohol. They're dressed in Buddhist tunics and baggy pantaloons. They sit on tiny stools on the floor of his dingy two-room pad. It turns out my monk Shifu lives with a young woman. She looks after the fish, the birds, pays the bills. I'm not brave enough to ask about the vow to celibacy, but I did ask about the booze. Shifu explains.
We are all geezers, so it doesn't matter.
Before we sleep, I share the only bed in the apartment with Shifu's girlfriend. He demonstrates some kung fu moves, karate chops in the air. It doesn't sound like it does in the movies, but it looks pretty authentic. I wouldn't want to mess with him. The Shaolin monks now travel the world putting on shows. They're famous for their gravity-defying leaps and somersaults and their sword work. Last time I visited, I saw young monks throw a needle and shatter a piece of glass. The temple itself is 1,500 years old. It has its share of legends of soldier monks fighting for emperors, of bravery, skill, treachery. I wondered, what if King Arthur's knights were still hanging out in some old castle town, sharpening their swords? How would they make a living? The next morning on the bus to Shaolin Temple, I asked Shifu about that. How does he make a living?
I could get rich if I stayed in the temple and sell souvenirs, but it's a rat race. Everyone competes for the money-making jobs.
Shifu prefers the free life in the city. He has followers scattered around the country, and they give him a bit of money, enough to live a simple life, and to support his girlfriend. Then he told me about a job offer he had. A fugitive wanted for his part in a notorious corruption case asked him to be his bodyguard. But is that right? I ask. Getting paid to protect a criminal?
If a man is in the gutter, if you keep beating him, he'll die. We ought to help pull him out.
Shifu tells me it's a virtue to help people in need. Besides, there's a Buddhist saying.
Things that appear true can be false. Things that appear false can be true.
Our first stop is a visit to a Shaolin Kung Fu school. It's an austere concrete building on a mountainside on the edge of the town of Dongfeng. Outside, the kids are in their gray Buddhist tunics with white leggings. They're karate chopping bricks with their bare hands. Later, I picked one up. It was crumbly and chalky, not something you'd want to build your house with. I'm here to interview the headmaster about the new Kung Fu TV drama he's casting. What's true Shaolin Kung Fu, and what's false, I ask. The answer, he says, has to do with combining spiritual meditation and the physical Kung Fu practice.
Shaolin Kung Fu is the accumulated wisdom of generations of masters. It cannot be described in a few words. It takes years or a lifetime to master.
I still don't get it. Then on the street, I run into Alex.
We just live in our hotel here. We practice Buddhism, meditation.
Alex is from Siberia. We go to his place.
How would you describe Shaolin Temple today? What is Shaolin Temple?
A lot of money, a lot of business, a lot of tourists, a lot of politics.
There are lots of unofficial Kung Fu schools in the village. He says most just teach Shaolin Kung Fu as a sport. Chairman Mao tried to wipe out the spiritual side of Shaolin involving Buddhist meditation. But Alex says Mao didn't do as good a job as capitalism.
I think that in some 10 or 20 years, these old monks will die and it will be a problem to find a traditional martial arts at all.
You can't find Kung Fu inside the temple, at least not during daylight hours. But Shifu brings me inside a roped-off area where the brick floor is dimpled with depressions from generations of monks practicing. Outside in the courtyard, monks play Buddhist muzak. They sell incense and manga-style Kung Fu comic books, DVDs. Visitors have all sorts of ideas about Shaolin and spirituality. A middle-aged woman buttonholes my monk in his telltale yellow tunic and asks, where can she get her fortune told? He tells her she shouldn't be superstitious.
Fortune-telling is a scam.
As we leave the temple to grab the last bus home, I'm still trying to figure out just what Shifu thinks is a scam when he abruptly stands up and gets off the bus. He orders me to go to the last stop, wait for him there. I don't have time to protest or ask any questions. He's gone. I'll confess, I've told a lot of stories about Shifu since we first met 5 years ago. That time, he asked if I'd go open a temple with him in the south to take advantage of rich Buddhists. I've even described him to friends as a fake monk. I mean, his lifestyle, his ambitions don't exactly conform to the stories of fabled Kung Fu monks. But then, I think back to the romantic residue King Arthur left behind. Knights in shining armor, damsels in distress. They're long gone. No one's under pressure to keep up their reputation. I remember what Shifu told me earlier. Don't judge others. True things can be false. False things can be true. At the dimly lit bus station, I see Shifu approaching. No more saffron robes. He's changed into white slacks, fashion horse red and white sneakers, a black shirt. Quite the dude. He explains he doesn't want the neighbors to see him dressed as a Shaolin monk. They might gossip and spread rumors. Maybe Shaolin and China have survived through the millennia because they didn't stick to the traditions, the truth of yesteryear. They changed with the times. What I saw is the true Shaolin, for now. For Studio 360, I'm Jocelyn Ford.